The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. It has been way too long, Jay Williams,
yes,
radio
has,
tour. Good to see you.
Good to be back.
Looking dapper.
What's up? How y'all doing?
Hello,
I'm doing good.
You had the Tigress outfit on 2 days ago. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yesterday you was Purple Rain, and today you Catwoman now. That's what this is.
No, this is very classic.
Yeah.
It looks very nice. It looks very, hey, I'm a fan of Catwoman. Here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
I love the suit that you wear,
bro.
But you do know winter is over.
Yeah, but it's cold.
He
in
did
the studio.
This to me yesterday
it's
too.
It's freezing
with the
in the studio.
It's not cold. It's
I don't
not
care
cold.
That it's 70 degrees. It's cold
it's
in
not
here.
Not cold, but you gonna walk outside.
Well, I would have been wearing a Tom Ford suit. I'm about to chase you down and redouble the bet.
You didn't have to chase me down. I was ready to pay my bet.
Oh, you didn't call me and text me.
You were the foolish one. Well, why would I call you? I know you're looking for me, but you were the foolish one that said double or nothing. I was minding my business when you offered me double or nothing.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You're still alive,
You're still alive, though.
Still alive, though.
Yeah, we're right.
All right.
Amari Stoudemire will be joining us, too, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I
got some throwbacks coming up also when he joins us, so get ready for that, okay?
Why is he? I don't know. I'm going to be very curious to see how Amari Stoudemire is on the show. I don't know if you noticed about Amari Stoudemire. One of the nicest human beings on the planet. I mean, I don't know if he's suited to be a debate.
I feel like when you call people nice, it's a low-key diss.
No,
I do. He did it to someone the other day.
It feels like
it. To JJ Redick. He's like, you're such a nice guy.
I did not say that about JJ Redick.
Williams.
JJ Redick is
all JJ Williams.
JJ Redick is not that nice of a guy. He is not that nice of a guy.
Oh, my goodness.
He is not.
I've seen it.
He is not.
Get the tape.
JJ Redick's got an attitude. Then he got contaminated by you because he's got an attitude all the time. I'm just saying.
That's what you
wow.
That's what you
wow.
Do to people.
Is that how you would describe me? An attitude?
No, only
all
with
time?
Me. Only yeah. with me. Okay. You're very abusive, just like my four sisters. Very abusive. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Oh.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Pray
before
for
I get
me.
In my feelings even
pray for day. Me. All right. The Bucks rallied from a 14-point fourth quarter. Why did we even have an open to the show? We should have just right to the VO. A deficit to win 110-107 and take a 3-2 lead in the Eastern Conference semifinal series against the Celtics. Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's the real deal. 40 points, 11 rebounds, while guard Jrue Holiday added 24 points, a block, and a steal on back-to-back possessions against Marcus Smart at the end of the game. The Bucks host the Celtics Game 6 on Friday, 7:30 Eastern. Let's go. Here's Jrue Holiday on the Bucks' resilience.
I mean, obviously, we're in Boston. We're down 14 in the fourth quarter. Like, you kind of just people would say that everything's against us, but we come together. And I feel like we've done that multiple times, and we'll live and die by that.
We don't have time to worry about how we lost. We ain't got time to worry about we lost and right now and it hurts. Got time for that. So it hurts. It definitely hurts, but we ain't got time to feel it. We got to go on to the next one, and really it's simple. If you're not ready to come play next game, then don't step on that court.
You know you're committed when you got the green hair. The Celtics' collapse came late in Game 5 as they had a 92% win probability when they led by 6 at the 2-minute mark. Missed opportunity. NBA teams had won 232 straight playoff games when leading by 6 points with 2 minutes remaining or less. Jay Williams, talk to me. More of a Bucks comeback or a Celtics collapse?
It's more of a Bucks comeback, in my opinion. First off, the Bucks wouldn't even be in the game if Giannis didn't single-handedly keep them in the game in the first half.
Yeah, he's unreal.
Right? Like, the go-go gadget arms, the way he was able to come to the opposite side of the rim, the way he got beat up Stephen A., the physicality of the game, he kept coming. One of the things I love about Giannis, he could have a bloody eye, he can get hurt, he's going to keep coming, and there's no complaining. So the fact that they're in the game, and look, the number I have, 3 of 20 is what Giannis has been shooting from the three-point line in this series against the Boston Celtics. I think we can all agree that looking at the team from top to bottom, the Boston Celtics are the more complete team. They have the complete package defensively and their offensive weapons, right? Milwaukee being down Chris Middleton, we're expecting Jrue Holiday to do more. You know what you're going to get from Giannis on the floor. But for Giannis to be 3 of 20 at this point when they're down 6, 2 minutes left, to make a 3, to make it down three, to get a steal then, to come back for Jrue Holiday to make a three, for Bobby Portis to get that offensive rebound. Even though Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown banged into each other, for them to come together at that point of the game, they took this game, Stephen A. They didn't have any point being in the game. They came back because they understood how to win. And Marcus Smart, it's not all on Marcus Smart, but you want your guard to be in control of the game down the stretch. There were a series of blunders that I saw Marcus Smart do that allowed Milwaukee to take that game from Boston.
So what are you saying? It's more about the Bucks' comeback?
No, I'm saying it's yes.
Yeah.
Bucks took this game.
To me, it's more about the Celtics' collapse. You had a 14-point lead in the second half. All right? 10 minutes ago, you were in control of the game. And let's analyze some of the things that have transpired. When we look at, first of all, let me say this. I'm not going to go in any specific order, and I'm not taking anything away from the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Giannis is that dude.
Mm-hmm.
He just is. And Jrue Holiday just can't say enough about the defensive tenacity that he put on display last night and how effective that he was. But collectively, they all showed up, including Bobby Portis. Even though there were a couple of plays he could have made, there were far more things he did right than he did wrong, and he deserves a lot of credit as well. Milwaukee collectively showed what a champion is made of. Let's give credit where credit is due. There is no Chris Middleton, and they showed up and they did what they had to do, but I'm not going to belabor that point. I'm only saying that to say that I appreciate and understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm pointing to with the Boston Celtics. What year is this? 2022. Don't we see three-pointers all over the place by every team?
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you see a team not even attempt a three-point shot in the fourth quarter? That was the Boston Celtics last night. No excuse. We've been waiting for Jason Tatum. We believe he's a rod because we know he's a star in this league. When Marcus Smart got the ball on the baseline after he had turned the ball over to Giannis, okay, and then ultimately it became a three-pointer because Bobby Portis wisely passed up an open shot, a contested shot from Horford, kicked it to his left, fed it, I'm sorry, to Jrue Holiday, yep. Bam, three-pointer. You got that, right? After that had happened, Marcus Smart gets the inbounds play. He gets past Connaughton. He's driving baseline. Watch the left corner, the bottom of the screen to your left. Jason Tatum is virtually standing in the corner. He made no effort to go for the ball. Now, it was a quick inbounds, to be fair. But the point is, go back to the days of a Michael Jordan with a Craig Elo and those guys. Get the basket. Watch the effort put forth. Think about Kobe Bryant when the game is on the line and how you're literally maneuvering through a multitude of people. Start and everybody in the building knows better than even think about. Everybody on the team rather knows better than to think about giving that ball to somebody else because you come in for it. You want it. That wasn't Tatum. That wasn't Tatum. Then we get to Smart. You get the shot ejected, and then Jrue Holiday makes a sensational play after literally snatching the ball from you and then falling out of bounds and throws it off you to retain possession. Then after all of that happens, what happens here? You've got Bobby Portis with the putback. Why? Because Marcus Smart, full of effort as always, basically bum rushed Jaylen Brown and knocked him out the way so Bobby Portis was able to get the offensive rebound off of the Giannis miss. That happened. And then after all of that, Marcus Smart dribbling with his head down. Jason Tatum is wide open coming down the right side. I mean, nobody in the vicinity. Now, once he caught the ball, Giannis would have been able to contest him, but he could have made a move and launched a three-point shot to at least try to tie. So that was just an awful 40 seconds of Marcus Smart right there. Now, Marcus Smart, we love him. Defensive player of the year. High energy. Holds people accountable. We ain't going to throw any shade on him. Just a bad 40 seconds. We just got to call it like we see it. But when you look at the multitude of things that had transpired, combined with how Jaylen Brown had gotten off in the third quarter with some of those threes that he's launching, didn't you think it would have been wise to go to him in the fourth quarter?
Mm.
I think so. Didn't you believe it would be wise for Jason Tatum to be a bit more effective and a bit more aggressive in the fourth quarter? I think so. And the fact that those things did not happen, combined with the fact that Ime Udoka, who's a coach of the year candidate, doing an outstanding job. We love him and the job that he's done. It wasn't his shining moment either, because how many times did Marcus Smart have the ball in his hands instead of a Jaylen Brown, instead of a Jason Tatum? These are the kind of things that you don't let happen in a playoff game, particularly against a reigning defending champion led by a superstar in Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is on the court bleeding and all. And I don't know why the game wasn't stopped or paused for a second so you could treat his bleeding. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, ended up with a 40-point, 11-rebound night. You know he's coming. They're the reigning defending champions. They have been here before. and all those things you let happen. This is about a Boston collapse more so than it's about a Milwaukee.
Well, by the way, though, Stephen A., Marcus Smart has made a lot of clutch plays for this team the entire year.
I agree.
So it's not like that was an anomaly. And actually, if you look at the play where they got the inbounds on the sideline, right, mm-hmm. where he got the block by Drew Holiday, mm-hmm. Al Horford was coming down the opposite side of the court for a pin down. Jason Tatum, like, Giannis was over the ball like this on the sideline. There was no way they were going to get that shot there. He makes the right read. It was a hell of a move.
But you saw Udoka going like this to Tatum because Tatum was supposed to come.
Come off that.
You're supposed to come off of it and fly to the ball. You're supposed to do that.
But in the Milwaukee Bucks defense now, mm-hmm. Drew Holiday is on the weak side. Mm-hmm. He comes over for that block. Because he has
I know you're not blaming that.
Right. That was a great look by Marcus Smart. Yes. It's better defense by Drew Holiday.
Sure, I agree.
Now, the last play is a little bit concerning because as a guard, when I catch the ball on an inbounds pass, one dribble, my head is up. Mm-hmm. I'm looking up. That should have been a skip pass.
That's right.
But I have to give credit to Drew Holiday for digging down that.
I'm not taking anything away. That's why I said I'm not stripping Milwaukee of the credit it deserves. What I'm saying to you is, for example, when you bring up Marcus Smart, what does Marcus Smart make big plays on two occasions? On two occasions. Defensively? Anywhere, number one. Number two, when it's a shot, it's catch and shoot. Mm. It's not you dribbling the ball up the court. The ball is in your hand. The last play, Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum has to have the ball in their hands. And if you touch the ball, it's for the sole express purpose of getting one of those two the ball as quickly as possible.
I agree with you on that.
Marcus Smart didn't do that.
How much were they missing Robert Williams?
I think it helps with the physicality around Giannis getting to the rim whenever he wants. I think that's a huge
And somebody to finish at the basket.
Yes.
Somebody to finish
Agreed.
At the basket.
Yeah.
But they had nothing on the interior
Zero.
Last night when it really, really counted.
So he's questionable for Game 6 as well. I asked you this. Do you believe Boston can bounce back and still win the series? Because Game 7 would be at home.
I do believe they can bounce back, but there is something that gives me more confidence about who Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks are in these type of moments. I believe Boston has the talent. That should be in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have the maturity in these end-of-game scenarios the way Milwaukee does to get there.
I will tell you where I'm at with this.
Okay.
I got Boston in 7.
Okay.
Obviously, pick looks wrong like right now. I'm not jumping off the ship, but I will tell you this. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Milwaukee won this series, but back in Boston. Mm. In other words, I still believe Boston's going to win Game 6
yeah.
and force Game 7. Now, you going to beat Giannis 2 games in a row? A game 6 and 7 when he's trying to get his second consecutive title? That's a tall ask. I'll jump off the ship. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But what I'm most confident about, I really believe that Boston is going to go into Milwaukee for game 6 tomorrow night and beat Milwaukee and force a game 7. I could see Milwaukee losing tomorrow night and coming back and winning game 7.
I agree with you, but it is a hostile environment.
It is a hostile environment.
Can I just say something real quick, though?
Yes.
We are talking about the Milwaukee Bucks without their second best player Chris Middleton.
Which is unbelievable.
What does this say about Giannis?
Yeah.
That this dude right now, you're talking about the last 3 years.
Yeah.
If he got back-to-back regular season MVP, he followed that up with a world championship and a finals MVP.
Mm-hmm.
If he finds a way to be undermanned to get by the most complete team in the East in the Boston Celtics and gets to a championship game again.
Well, see, here's what it says. If you're the Jay Williams of the world, it says the man's phenomenal and he's great and all-time great and all of this other stuff.
Thank you for speaking.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't disagree.
Okay.
I don't disagree.
Okay.
What it says to me?
See, what it says to me? What does it say to you? After you explain what it says to me,
Ready?
I love when people speak for me.
He ain't Ben Simmons. That's what it said to me. That's what it said to me. Wait a minute. Stay with me. Because you know how I am. You'll sit up there. How many times do you listen to me and you go like this? What the hell is he talking about? And then I explain it. You go like this. Damn, I ain't think about it that way. Here's the deal.
Oh, my goodness.
The same Giannis Antetokounmpo they would once count when he was at the free throw line. One, two, three, four, because he would take forever to shoot his free throw, right? And obviously, damn near commit violations sometimes, okay? He keeps coming nonstop. He ain't scared to get fouled. He ain't scared to go to the free throw line. What does he do last night? He gets fouled within the last 20 seconds. So goes right to the free throw line, hits the first, hits the front end, all right? Hits the first one, misses the second one. Bobby Portis gets the put back because Marcus Smart knocks Jaylen Brown out the way. We understand that. But Giannis's courage, his fearlessness, his willingness to attack, he don't give a damn about the shrapnel or cynicism, criticism, or whatever coming his way. That's point number one. And point number two, his jumper ain't been great. Saw that three that he hit? Pull it up, yanked it. Yeah! Just like that. The courage, the consistency, the fearlessness, the fact that he don't give a damn what anybody says.
Mental toughness.
He's constantly coming. That's why I said. It says to me,
is it fair to say he's one of the most mentally tough players?
Oh, yeah.
Like him 1,000%. And Joel Embiid, because I always bring up that immigrant mentality where it's next level, but you're not putting Joel Embiid there.
I don't know. I need to see that from Joel Embiid tonight.
As with West Indian heritage,
yeah.
You are right. I mean, the immigrant mentality, no doubt. That's a compliment. Huge compliment.
That's what I'm saying.
You could keep working.
Can I say something real quick?
Yes,
you would be the only man on this planet to find a way to put Ben Simmons' name in the same conversation as a two-time MVP and a world champion.
Diametrically opposed.
In Giannis.
Diametrically opposed. Polar opposites. How
leave this man Ben Simmons alone. No. Let him do what he needs to do to get focused. So why are you even bringing his name to the conversation when we're talking about a guy who was finals MVP?
Most people would try to give you a cerebral explanation.
Why do you keep using the word cerebral?
It's intellectual, whatever. Whatever. Let me say this to you. Because I want to.
Why didn't they have no need to be together?
Because I want to. Because what I'm trying to say to you is this. You think one has nothing to do with the other. I believe it's everything. You know why? Because this, other than Giannis's greatness, what is Giannis's greatest attribute?
His mentality. But I can compare his mentality to 90% of the NBA, let alone one player.
Hold on. You think that 90% of the NBA has the same mentality?
No, I think that 90% of the NBA does not have the same mentality as Giannis. So that's why I don't know why you would specifically choose Ben Simmons in this situation.
Well, first of all, you know why. I'm not going to believe
it. You can't let it go.
He was trying to say polar opposites. That's where he was going with that.
I choose not to. See, this first.
Don't spread your eyes when you talk to me like that.
This is first take.
Don't give me.
I choose to. That's what the hell I want to do, because I want everybody to understand. Understand that when we root for somebody and when we think about superstars that we want to be the faces of the NBA, when we want to walk through the turnstiles to support people, when we're clamoring and craving for people to give us, the fan, what we're looking for, Giannis is that dude.
Yeah.
Because he never stops, and we know it. And you are either invested for him or you are invested against him. Either way, you are invested because of people like him. He is a treasure to the NBA and to professional sports. And I want everybody to understand that. That is what I am saying.
So you're building one guy up while breaking another guy down.
With all due respect. We ain't breaking Ben Simmons down. He already been broken. So we understand that. There ain't no breaking down. He already been broken. We trying to lift him up. We trying to give him the ingredients. Sprinkle it up in there.
We are going to get into the Nets in the show because Sean Mark spoke about Kyrie Irving. So we'll get into that in a
later
little
bit
as well.
Why is this guy bringing it into Molly?
Because he can't help himself.
This type of behavior.
He can't help himself.
Do you just boil water and drink it, or do you stuff in the tea bag and sprinkle some?
Well, it's called steeping.
Steeping, whatever.
I don't stuff it in.
Whatever. I don't give a damn. Whatever. Okay.
I'm sorry.
I appreciate the help. Steeping. I learned a new word. Steeping.
Yeah,
okay. So I didn't know that word. I didn't know it. I mean, far be it. But the point that I'm trying to make is this. What you do is you don't sit up there and just boil the water. You steep a tea bag in it. You sprinkle some sugar in there. If you West Indian like me, you throw a little milk, coconut milk, almond milk, whatever. You throw a little. You see, you mix it up in there. It's ingredients. Cool, ingredients to success. You don't just do it plain. You don't just show up. There's ingredients to success. And I just told you what that ingredient should be.
Okay.
That's why I brought it up.
All right.
And I will continue.
I'm sure you will, yes, we talk about Kyrie Irving soon.
Take notes, my brother.
No.
Giannis is a treasure.
It'll help you a great deal.
Worst.
Okay.
Okay. Let's carry on here.
Help a brother out.
Where are we going from here?
Yes.
The Grizzlies, because they are gamers. My goodness, Memphis routed Golden State 134-95. What is up with these blowouts in Game 5, sending the Western Conference semifinal back to San Francisco? The Grizzlies' John Morant started the chant, Grizz in 7. Memphis scored 25 points off 14 Golden State turnovers and had 36 points in the first half alone.
They not going to whoop that trick alone. We're going to whoop that trick together. If we're going to whoop that trick, we got our kicked. That's all right. It happens. But you don't be front runner. You know, when you spew it out, you gotta be willing to take it and not hide from it, not duck from it, not run from it, embrace it. So I appreciated the crowd tonight and the energy that they brought to the game. You know, and if they want to whoop that trick, we're going to whoop them together.
Okay. Clearly a missed opportunity for the Warriors, Stephen A. Yeah. Are you starting to get nervous?
Yes. Starting? Like as in now? Or like has he been nervous?
I've been a little nervous.
Okay.
I've been a little nervous. I'm not going to front. And I'm not joking around. I'm more nervous now.
Yeah.
And I want to say this, a couple of things, because it's important. Because we're going to be fair. Uh-huh. And I'm always fair. That was one of the greatest ass whippings I've ever seen. I mean, excuse my language, Warriors got their ass kicked. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. You down as much as 55, and the star that's gone from the team is not yours. It's not like Steph Curry wasn't playing. It's not like Klay Thompson wasn't playing. It's not like Jordan Poole wasn't playing. It's not like Draymond Green wasn't playing. Ja Morant wasn't playing. Now, we've seen the Memphis Grizzlies enjoy success without the services of Ja Morant this year, and we've marveled at it. But nevertheless, nobody in their right mind would believe that you was going to see what you saw last night. I thought Memphis could win this game, and I said that yesterday, that Golden State would go back and give it to them and end this series. But it doesn't matter what happens in Game 6 if the Golden State Warriors win. It don't erase what we saw last night. That was an atrocity. That was one of the worst performances that I've ever seen. And I'm going to say this because this breaks my heart to say this, but I have to say this. One of the luckiest people in the National Basketball Association this morning is Mike Brown, the new coach for the Sacramento Kings.
Mm-hmm.
I would remind the world, I know Mike Brown. I love the guy personally. I know about some struggles in Cleveland as a coach, nothing personal. Struggles in L.A., coaching LeBron in Cleveland, coaching Kobe in L.A., struggles. But the bottom line is I respect the hell out of Mike Brown. Mike Brown stands today as the luckiest man in the NBA. Because I assure you, and Jay knows I'm telling the truth when I say this, I don't give a damn what anybody says.
Get a job.
If the Sacramento Kings had not made a choice yet, and Mike Brown had coached these last two games the way that this Golden State Warriors team looked, that team would have cost him the head coaching job. I'm not saying it would have been fair. I'm saying that as a person that has covered the NBA for over a quarter century, I'm telling you what I know. And there isn't a soul in the NBA that would deny that that this is true. If the Sacramento Kings, they won't admit it now because they already made the hire, but if the Sacramento Kings had not made their choice, considering how Golden State looked, as putrid as they did, and struggling to win game four, and then looked the way that they looked last night, it would have cost him that head coaching
job. No, I get it.
They would not have given it to him.
But how much of a factor is Steve Kerr's absence?
That's where I'm going.
In this loss.
That's where I'm going. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm saying to you is, under no circumstances have we ever, nor would we ever imagine that we would have seen a performance like that with Steve Kerr coaching this team. Not like that. They've been blown out before under Steve Kerr. Not like that. Not like that. That was an all-time epic embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
And without Ja Morant, that made it even worse. Do I think the Golden State Warriors are going to recover to win this series? Yes. Do I think that they're going to recover enough where they could beat Phoenix still? Yes. But when we talk championships, with what we saw from Milwaukee last night, what we know Boston is capable of, how am I going to sit here with comfort? And let me respect Phoenix. How am I going to, because Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton and Crowder and CP3 and that assassin that is Devin Booker. I can't sit here with comfort and tell you that this Golden State Warriors team that vacillates back and forth, look like a juggernaut one minute, look like they don't know how to play together the next. I can't tell you that that's what will win the West. I'm very concerned about what I'm seeing because the inconsistency is what alarmed me. And last night, I mean, damn, I'm trying to go back. I mean, I know teams that have lost by 60 in the regular season. And
not
I mean,
like that.
Not like
not
this.
Not like that.
Yeah.
Not like this.
Jay, what do you attribute the swings to? And how much of it do you think has to do with coaching and Steve Kerr not being there, if any?
Well, game four, I gave them credit because they found a way to win ugly.
Yep.
And everybody was talking about, well, Memphis is playing without Ja Morant. You know, they're still in this game. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? Finding a way to win ugly means something because championship teams with experience find a way to do that. But they did seem like they were lethargic. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's intriguing to me is about these rivalries that are occurring in our game, Stephen A. So I said this last year when I saw Ja Morant and Memphis bounce Golden State. I said, oh, I was like, this is a rivalry. People said, well, it's not a rivalry for Stephen Curry. I'm like, yo, maybe not for Stephen Curry, but for Ja Morant, it's a rivalry. Mm-hmm. So last night on the bench, I see Ja Morant going, one, two, three. He's doing all the same things that Stephen Curry does when he's on the ground after he makes it and one, three. Right? He's doing, it means something to them. So for me last night, knowing that Steph said, whoop that trick, right? Which that's a whole other conversation that we can go into. I was like, oh, okay. It kind of feels a little bit, and I know Steph talks, but a little bit uncharacteristic for Steph in the way he's kind of publicly saying things now, talking trash in the way he's engaged with Memphis and Ja Morant. I still have trust and faith that they are going to be able to beat Memphis, even though I did pick Memphis to win. I still think Golden State is a better team with Ja Morant being out. But it does bring me to something that I think is an intriguing storyline that we have to get ourselves prepared for. If Phoenix Suns are able to win against Dallas and close it out, I think the world is about to see one of the best low-key rivalries in all of sports, and that is Stephen Curry against Chris Paul. Now, we're seeing a rivalry with how Steph reacts talking to Ja Morant. Let me give you some history between these two.
Please do.
So when Steph was coming into the league, Steph actually trained with CP3. CP3 took him and him to Disney World with his family. Mm-hmm. They trained the whole time. Steph saw him as a mentor. Mm-hmm. They then met in the 2014 playoffs, the Clippers and the Golden State Warriors. Yes. The Clippers won in seven. Mm-hmm. It came down to the wire.
Yep.
CP3 had 23 points.
Hit the winning shot.
Yeah, winning shot. Right. But Steph dropped 29 that game. He played really well. And it keeps going. Some of the most viral moments in Steph's career have been against CP3. Now, I know we look at CP3 as the All-American player right here. But like 4 or 5 years ago, man, CP3 wasn't really liked around the league by a lot of players now. CP3 used to do things. You go up for a jump shot, he would hit you here in spots that were close to the family, all that kind of stuff, right? One of the best competitors in the game of basketball. If that does happen, I do wonder how this team that seems a little bit lethargic in how they handle rivalries will handle that rivalry for CP3 and Steph Curry.
Interesting point, but correction. In the past, you talk about CP3 being liked. Hell, he still isn't liked by a lot of players.
I'm just talking about media perspective, fans.
No, I'm talking players.
Yes.
But respected by all.
Yes. I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that.
And so, and CP don't care because he's a pit bull. He's an ultra competitor. And when he's trying to beat you, he don't care about whether you like him or not. So I have no problem with it whatsoever. But I do think that Steph Curry's a problem for him. Steph Curry has proven to be a problem for him because CP3 is an elite of a defender as he can be. There's little you can do when a brother's pulling up from 30 or 40, which we've seen Steph do, particularly against CP3 in the past. I think the thing now that is plaguing the Golden State Warriors, and somebody needs to say it, so I'm going to say it, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. You know how much I believe in Klay Thompson. He got my vote for the All-75 team. He's a future Hall of Famer, first ballot without question. Three championships, five straight NBA finals. They couldn't have done all of that without him, even if they had Durant, as far as I'm concerned. Klay Thompson is that special. But I do think that Klay Thompson is a bit sensitive in a good way. But the way it's affected him this year, there have been too many occasions where I see him launching shots he don't normally launch, missing up passing the way that he never did in the past, because as much of a marksman as he is, he'd make the right pass. I think this is a guy that no matter how much he has accomplished, he felt underappreciated and has been counted out, and rightfully so. Remember, the media cost this man about $30 million. He signed the max deal, but Kemba Walker was chosen as third team All-NBA a few years back. It cost Klay Thompson. I don't blame Klay Thompson. He never speaks to the media again in life because it cost him $30 million. Because damn it, he would have been in a position, had he made that team, he would have been in a position to get the Supermax, $220 million instead of $190 million. The media cost him 30. It wasn't me, but the media cost that man $30 million. If he got an attitude with the media for the rest of his career, I don't blame him one bit. The flip side is that since he's come back, there have been too many occasions where he seems to be focused on him and proven, not in a selfish way like I don't care about the team, is that he seems hell-bent on proving doubters wrong instead of just playing his game. When he plays his game, he has had spectacular games, but there's too many times where that has not been the case. And there's been a couple of games this series where he's been that guy, where he seems like he's just out there trying to prove what he can do instead of just
being that consummate team player. It's so hard coming off back-to-back injuries like that.
Exactly.
I'm talking mentality.
Of course, but I'm saying that affects the mentality.
Here's the thing. If Memphis is able to get a win on the road, they have an advantage here, and they found something over the last two games. Steven Adams and Brandon Clark have been beating Golden State up inside. They had 18 offensive rebounds last night. And the physicality of Dylan Brooks on Stephen Curry, the way they play, that physicality forcing turnovers. I mean, look, I still favor Golden State, but they're flirting with fire now. Yep. They're playing with fire in this one.
They are playing. Let me tell you this.
We have to go to break, but I still don't understand these extreme swings.
I will say this. They don't want to go back to Memphis for
No, they do not.
They got to win game six. They don't want to go back to Memphis in game six. And I love that kid, Brandon Clark. That's a special dude right there. I love his energy, his effort, the impact he has.
If they went on the road, does Ja Morant come back for game seven?
I don't know.
And is it better for Memphis to have Ja Morant come back for game seven?
I'm not a doctor. I would tell you
it's better. It looks like they can get it done.
In Memphis?
Yes. In Memphis, game seven?
Yes. It would be better if he can do it.
If he can.
But I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what the situation is.
It is incredible, though, that they're getting it done without him right now, their best player.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right now, here in New York, Brooklyn Nets general manager Sean Marks and coach Steve Nash met the media on Wednesday to discuss a season to forget. The Nets were swept out of the first round by Boston. Hard to fathom, considering Brooklyn was preseason title favorites. Marks held himself accountable and expressed the need to look for players to improve the culture of the team. He said that Ben Simmons has a new lease on life, so to speak, after his recent back surgery. Marks also didn't let Kyrie Irving off the hook for choosing not to get vaccinated and missing most of the season. Take a listen.
There's an objective and there's a goal at stake here. And in order to do that, we're going to need availability from everybody. You know, we're looking for guys that want to come in here, be part of something bigger than themselves, play selfless, play team basketball, and be available. And that goes not only for Kyrie, but for everybody here.
Okay. Stephen A., what is the significance of Sean Marks publicly calling out Kyrie Irving?
You've never seen me do this on First Take before.
Uh-oh.
About time. Thank God. Thank God Sean Marks said what he needed to say. We know who that was for. We know that's what that was about. We know that what was about. That's exactly what needed to be said. We need people who are going to be here and be available. It's that simple. No one can defend Kyrie. No one. You can try. It's falling on deaf ears. Walk in the streets. Talk to people. I'm going to look at the Brooklyn. I'm from Queens. But damn it, it's New York City. So I love all the boroughs, especially you, Brooklyn. Don't you want to see him play? Kyrie Irving is not good. He is spectacular. He is box office. This brother is sensational. You walk through the turnstile to see a brother like him play. And you know what he does, Jay?
What does he do?
Because he knows he's spectacular. I'll play when I want to play. You should feel privileged to see me play. That's his attitude. And so what Sean Marks is saying is, this is what we need. Let me be very clear about the Brooklyn Nets. Kyrie Irving plays start to finish. He plays 70-plus games, okay? He's there for the playoffs without the shenanigans, without time off needed and all of this other stuff. Brooklyn might win the title because I think Kyrie Irving with KD is that spectacular. They didn't lose this team because of personnel. They lost because they were never together. They lost because there was no cohesiveness, no chemistry per se. And a few games during the regular season wasn't going to cut it. The Brooklyn Nets with Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant on the same team, with Kevin Durant departing from Steph Curry and Golden State, KD has one playoff series win in 3 years. 3 years ago, when we looked at these brothers together, and we fantasized about what they were going to bring, even though the first year was going to be without KD because he was recovering from the Achilles tear in the finals against Toronto. Kyrie only played 20 games that year. Didn't want to play in the bubble. Tried to discourage other people from playing in the bubble. Comes back after a 10-month layoff on December 22nd, to be exact. And they needed time off because of the riots at the U.S. Capitol. There's always something. And what I'm saying is Sean Marks stood up and said, enough's enough. Now, I hope he follows through because the words don't mean a damn thing without follow through. And we understand that. We understand that that could have all just been lip service. I beg to differ. I don't think that Sean Marks says that without talking to your man, Josiah, and ownership for the Brooklyn Nets and getting the okay to take the position that he took because we all got peeps to answer to. And we get that. So we understand that. But the all objective and the sad part about all this stuff that goes on with Kyrie Irving and all the talking is that at the end of the day, we all are after the same thing, to see that spectacular brother on the basketball court
and play
more often than not. That's all we're after. We don't care what else you do. Do whatever you want to do with your life. He ain't getting in trouble with the law. He ain't getting arrested or nothing. He's not some reprehensible citizen that needs to be incarcerated or something like that. Kyrie's a good dude. Got his heart in the right place. He a bit misguided at times, but damn it, so a lot of us. It's no big deal. All we want to do, the sad part is all of this noise is being made because we want to see him play. That's all we want. And that's what Sean Marks said yesterday, and I'm down for that.
Okay, I am completely fine with Sean Marks setting a standard. You made a really interesting point. You have to double down on that standard and back up the words that you say. Mm-hmm. So this is where it's going to get interesting to me, because I do believe that Kyrie will be available to play this season. Mm-hmm. You named some pretty polarizing subject matter between the bubble, a lot of people worried about what was going on, the riots, the U.S. Capitol, understand that, and a pandemic.
Yeah.
I do believe Kyrie will be available this year. But this comes down to a relationship, in my opinion.
Yep.
Sean Marks can say all that, but the person that needs to reinforce it Stephen A. Smith, it's Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, Sean Marks, Joe Tsai, all these guys can say all this stuff about what's going to happen. But until Kevin Durant has that conversation with Kyrie Irving privately and confirms that for them, I don't see his words. They fall on deaf ears, man. They do. Like, it needs to come from one of the greatest players in the world. Now, if that came from Kevin Durant to Sean Marks, then know that it needs to come from his mouth, because all that stuff creates a passive-aggressive style of a relationship. And for me, that relationship between those two, if they're on the same page and if they can directly communicate hard things to each other, that's what a championship chemistry is. So if that is coming from Kevin Durant, it needs to come directly from Kevin Durant to Kyrie.
Can you explain to me why it needs to come from Kevin Durant?
Because Kevin Durant is the face of the Brooklyn Nets franchise. He is a superstar in this game. He is one of the greatest players on the planet Earth, and he is the one person they know they can afford, they cannot afford to lose, displease or lose. So if Kevin Durant has this, this unreal loyalty to his boys, and particularly Kyrie Irving, and he don't want Kyrie Irving gone, if the Nets said, the hell with that, we going to do it anyway, you got a big-time problem with Kevin Durant. You got a big-time problem with Kevin Durant. But I will tell you this, since you only have one playoff series victory to show for it, if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, I take my chances. Because here's what the deal is. We going to run this organization the way we see fit. I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. LeBron wasn't too happy with the way Pat Riley did things. There were a lot of rumors. I don't know how true they were, but there were a lot of rumors about whatever it is that he felt and ultimately the rest of the dudes felt about Eric Spoelstra once they had initially arrived. What did Pat Riley do? Spoelstra ain't going nowhere.
Nowhere.
This is my guy. I run this franchise, and this is how it's going to go down, period. Now, you go from there. What I'm saying to you is this. Just like LeBron James has extreme value, even though Kevin Durant doesn't have that kind of value that LeBron James had, he still is incredibly, incredibly valuable. And if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, who wouldn't bust down my door to get their hands on Kevin Durant? If you are dogged about keeping Kyrie Irving, no matter what he does, basically giving him carte blanche to act any old way that he wants to, thereby, in a de facto sense, running the organization, I'm sorry, you can go too. Because guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to use both of y'all to get the assets that I need, because you ain't got no trade clauses. They got rid of that years ago. So I'm going to use the assets that y'all would automatically bring, and I'm going to build a team. I don't want to lose Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. The dude is sensational, and he's phenomenal. And a great dude who, by the way, always shows up to play. But the point is, at some point in time, KD, we are paying you too. Is your commitment to us, or is your commitment to your boy? And if your commitment is to your boy,
that is the question.
Why don't you get him in
line? That is the question. That is a $100 million question.
But here's my question, Jay. Sure. Isn't this a moot point next season? Because there won't be the vaccination restrictions in New York, so Kyrie will be available to play.
That's why I think he will be available. But obviously, there's some people that feel the way Stephen A does,
right,
that there's always something.
Always something.
So I think this is Sean Marks setting that standard. But Stephen A, just off your point really quickly,
yeah,
that's why I said at the end of the day, it comes down to Kevin Durant.
I don't disagree.
Being able to draw a line and say, Kyrie, this is what I want. Mm-hmm. If there is something, I don't believe it, but if there is something, always something, it can't be here anymore.
Right.
He has to be willing to do that. And his lack of saying something is him saying something.
Absolutely. And to get to your question, Molly, more directly, here's what we're saying. Your question is because you're leaning on the whole vaccine issue.
Yeah.
My point about Kyrie is that it's always something. And the fact of the matter, there's always something that either gets in the way of him participating literally or participating figuratively, because sometimes his mind and his heart just ain't there.
But what I would need to know is, was last season a breaking point for Kevin Durant? You know,
we gonna find out. We don't know.
That's what we don't know.
I don't think
but
so.
We're gonna have more on this a little bit later.
If he gonna
don't think
go.
So.
If he gonna sit, let Kyrie go.
So